I'm so blessed to be able to finish today's session and this opportunity for us with the last chapter in Philippians. I'm going to have to let you unpack quite a bit of it, but we've been talking about thinking bigger and we have been blessed. And I mean that word, I'm not trying to talk myself into it. We've been blessed with an opportunity to think bigger with everything that's been coming down the pipe at us. Thinking bigger is a perspective shift. And so let's go straight to Philippians 3. You're like, Aaron, you don't have any time. Well, it's part of my message. 3:20 through 4:1. This idea of thinking bigger, that we are not just citizens of America, we're citizens of heaven, first and foremost. Listen to this. Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body. Will, that means it's going to happen, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Let's remember Jesus and that you are his. Remember that. Remember that. We desperately need that. Your body will betray you. God forbid your family will betray you. Not necessarily even intentionally. Your friends will. This world, this government, your money, all that will, but Jesus won't. Remember that you're his. Philippians 4, 2 through 3 says, I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche, entreat, that's beg. I am begging you, he says. Agree in the Lord. This whole idea that we are his and we're beloved and we need to know that he's going to transform us. And then he gets right to these two ladies from church that are fighting. They're arguing with each other. We don't even know what about. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, Syzygus, the only time that word's used in all of the Bible. But somebody is either named Syzygus or this true companion. He's saying to him, I ask you also, help these women. Help each other to get along in the Lord. If we cannot rally around Jesus, but we can only rally around carpet color or building or windows or a worship style, then we're in deep, deep trouble. And it has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with preaching. It has everything to do with Jesus. It has nothing to do with stylistic approaches. It has to do with Jesus. Who are we going to agree in? Look, he reminds them, they've labored side by side. They've strived with me in the gospel together. Remind them of this. Together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. There was a young man that was really, really good football player for Sultan High School. And his name is Cooper Boucheri. If you're watching, what up, Coop? Albino rhino, right? This boy just run over people. And his name was in the newspaper. He sent me a text. Coach, you see this and that? And I'm like, yeah, you know what's even better, Coop? Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He didn't text me. He called me. He goes, tell me that verse. He was like, remind me of that. And so he reminds him. And so this leads me to 1988. Why wouldn't it, right? 1988, I had graduated, and there's this song. I'm going to say the first two words, and you're going to say the rest of it for me. Don't worry. Yeah. Who, you guys, were you born? Were you even? I knew it. All right, check it out. It was this guy, right, that was singing, don't worry. Be happy. That seems like such a lame thing. Hey, don't worry. Okay, great. Thanks. Stop bleeding. What? Okay, great. Don't worry. Well, I'm not going to tell you be happy. I'm going to tell you like Jesus would have in John 16:33. Don't worry. Know that God's in control. And there's four things here that we can look at with that. Don't worry. Be prayerful, thankful, content, and generous. These are things that we can do to truly be blessed. In this world, Jesus says in John 16:33, you will have trials, tribulation, trouble. But don't worry, I've overcome the world. That's Jesus. Let's go. Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. He should say again because he's been talking about rejoicing the whole time. It's joy. And where does joy come from? Your stuff? Look, let your reasonableness or your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. You wonder where he's at? He's at hand, dear friends. Don't be anxious or worry about anything, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. These are three different ways to pray, by the way. Let your requests be made known to God, right here in this house and in any house you have, any car you have, any walk you have. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, boy, that's a bummer because we want to figure it out. I'll just receive it because you're not going to figure it out, but you will be given it. Jesus is Yahweh Shalom. He is our peace. You can't figure him out, but he's right there with you and he's got it all figured out. So the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Woo! Really quick, I want to go to Isaiah 26:3, as this was a verse a long time ago that I had heard a long time ago that I had tried to memorize, and it just kept coming back to me during this message. Lord, you keep him or her in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. I love to unpack that, but I'm not going to be able to. I'm just going to say these three words. Inside out peace poured into us and it comes out. The peace of God which passes understanding. Philippians 4, 8 through 9 talks about contentment and generosity. And here's how it goes. Finally, brothers and sisters, and there's still more left, so he's concluding yet again. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Now, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul says, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. We're called to be content. We're called to have peace that comes inside and out. We're called to be generous. Look at how he unpacks generosity. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. I'm stoked that you were generous. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, although he just said it, right? But he's like, look, the actual point is this. I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Who likes the word content? Do you like to be content? You just feel like nothing bad can happen, right? Some of us are not sure about contentment because it seems like we're just getting lazy. But this contentment is unpacked. I know how to be brought low, so humbled, tough stuff, and I know how to abound, to excel. And that in any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This is not just a weightlifting. This is not just a getting up in the morning. It can help for all of those. This is an idea of contentment. I'm going to say it to you like this, and we'll have it up on the screen. And Paige, thank you for just reading through. Contentment in Jesus is our secret to strength. Not contentment in circumstances. Not contentment in money. Don't worry, be happy. Happy is different for you and you and you and you and you and you. But joy, contentment is the same. It's Jesus. Where do you need to focus more on Christ in your life? During abundant times when it's all just gravy? Or during your needy times? In what ways can you focus on him? How can you make more of him in your circumstances? I really don't have a ton of time to unpack 14 through 23. We're going to finish this, but I want you to look for generosity. I want you to look for contentment. I want you to look for prayerful things. I want you to look for things to be thankful for in this. He says, look, I was like kind of in need, but really what I was most stoked about, well, I'll let him tell you. It was kind of you to share my trouble, like to come alongside of me and be a part of this issue. You may not have been in trouble with me, but you joined in by this, that you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Y'all were consistently generous. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I want you to be blessed to be a blessing. I've received full payment and more. I'm well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God, hear this church, will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are here with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. I don't have time to unpack that. This dude's in prison and he's actually reaching the ruler of the world's household because he was in a spot that all of us would long to not be in. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. I want to give you some quick suggestions on keeping contentment and joy in your life. From Warren Wiersbe, thank you, dear saint. He is with Jesus now. Number one, surrender your mind to the Lord. Number two, let the Holy Spirit renew your mind through the Word. Stay in the Word, brothers and sisters. Number three, as you pray, ask God to give you that day a single mind, a submissive mind to God and to one another, a spiritual mind and a secure mind. I come to you, God, the way I am, but I want to be the way you want me to be. Which leads to number four, during the day, mind your mind. Where's your mind going? What are you looking at? What are you focusing on? You all could have came in here today and said, this is so different, I don't think I'm going to do it. And some of you still may be doing a little cost-benefit analysis on that, but I would say this, did we or did we not make much of Jesus today in this room? Guard the gates of your mind, it says, number five. Like, protect what's coming in, what you're watching, what you're listening to. And that's not just nasty things that are obvious. Maybe it could be people who are discontented. People that go beyond their boiling point and want everybody else to know just how jacked up she, he, it is. Finally, remember that your joy is not meant to be a selfish thing. Don't hang on to it. It's God's way of glorifying Christ and helping others through you. So I'll conclude with joy. Jesus, others, you. Keep it in that order. God's got you, friend. He's got you. Think bigger. Look for ways to go beyond what we're experiencing right here and right now. Look for how God would give you so much more. There are discussion questions. I'd love for you to do this. We're going to try to implement these as part of the worship experience as well in the future. But for now, with the amount of time we don't have left, I'll just have you look at these, take a picture of them, discuss them. God bless you online. God bless you right here. Jesus loves you. Be strong and courageous. And let it be contagious. Do not miss Jesus in this moment. God bless you. Have a great day.